What is going on, guys? This is Eddie from the Thought Force podcast, and welcome into part three of my mental game chat with Vic Ferrante. There's a lot of great, great nuggets in this chat, so if you have not checked out parts one and two, please make sure you go back and listen to those two podcast episodes, which are already posted first, so you can get the full story and chat and everything, so you can follow the conversation a little bit easier. But if you already listened to those two parts, I hope you enjoy the third part. And I had a blast talking with Vic. There's, like I said before, there is a lot of great mental game content throughout this whole chat, so I hope you enjoy.
You are listening to the hottest podcast in the game. This is the Thought Force Podcast. Get ready. It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone?
Here's your host, Eddie Saucedo. Play ball.
I think that's great. I mean, especially because you have gotten to the point where you have your awareness, right? If we have first, before you can have even implement these techniques, like for the kids listening, depending on whatever, what level they're at, it's like, you need to have a level of awareness to be able to recognize when you're in those states, when you're in their green, their yellow, their red, so that you can then implement the right tool. So I kind of like to think of it as like a, you know, like a toolbox, right? It's right. Like, if, imagine if I'm a contractor and I show up to a site where we're building a house and I don't have my tools, or all I have is a hammer, I'm not going to get very far. Hopefully there's some nails around, because that's about all I can do. But of course, in baseball, there's so many variables, and there's so many, like, no game, no two games are exactly alike. No two pitches are exactly alike. And no two scenarios, environments are exactly alike. So being able to pull out the right tool at the right time is just, it's an elite type of habit or strategy. But in order to be as successful as you can possibly be, like, we need to have the right tools in our toolbox, our toolkit, when that job or that task presents itself. Like you said, it's not always, your approach is not always going to be the same. So, and it's hard. That's what makes coaching hard. It's like, you can't just say to one kid, hey, think, be on top, think, get on top of the ball every single time. It's like, you can't think, get under the ball every single time. You can't think oppo every single time. You can't think the middle every, because it all depends on kind of the scenario, but it's up to the player to do their, you know, study of the game, study of the mental side, the approach, the, just the every aspect of the game. And that's the part that's hard. There's so much to it. And that's why so much of it, you have to weed out the things that you can't control, because your brain is going to explode. You can't think about every single thing. You just have to focus on the ones that we can focus. And all we know is that we have control of ourself. That's the other part. We have to have the awareness that we are in control of ourselves. We must know that and believe that, so that when that situation arises, we can take control of what we can and hopes of getting the best result.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think another big thing with going off of the breathing techniques is, for you players or even coaches that are talking to your players, I think it's one thing to know what to do. So, like, you could have heard the breathing technique I use when I'm in a red or a yellow, which is going to the top and squeezing all the muscles in my body and then relaxing them, which it would be one that I'd use if I feel like that would be what would get me in a good spot. But it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to have practiced it and to really feel it by doing it, because you don't want to go into the game doing it for the first time. That's not something you really want to do. And for me, there's different ways I do that. So, for example, if I'm in the cage, instead of taking 10 swings in 10 seconds, I'll take one swing every 10 seconds, and I will focus on, okay, let's pretend I'm really excited right now. Like, it's a big, big moment in the game. Like, it's loud, like, whatever it is, I'm not in a good place to compete. Okay, let me take my breath that I need to take, pretend like it's the real situation, and then hit the ball off the tee or the front toss or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But taking cage time to really focus on those seconds between pitches, I think, is huge. That's one way I work on it. Another way is visualization. You know, every day I wake up, I'll start by meditating and following that meditation with visualization. Meditation will quiet my mind, kind of get in a relaxed state. And then that allows me to visualize clearer. So every day, whenever I start the day, I'll meditate and I'll visualize. And when I do visualize, I don't just visualize myself just hitting line drives. Like, I visualize myself going through the pre-pitch routine, then hitting line drive. So it becomes the whole picture, not just the result, but the process behind what got the result as well. And another one that I also really, really like is there's a lot of bullpen videos on YouTube of big league guys. Like, you can basically see, like, if you're a hitter, like, timing up, like, you can pretend like you're timing these guys up, because it's almost like the umpire view, and you can set it up on your computer, grab a bat, and just time them up. And I like to do that. You know, let's say I'm timing up Corey Kluber, for example. I'll put his bullpen video up on my computer, grab my bat, and just time them up. And something that will help a lot with that is, I know in like a bullpen, like, they obviously are going fast. Like, you don't have time to like do your pre-pitch routine, then do it. So I'll time up every second or third pitch of his while doing that breathing technique. And something that I like to do that is a unique twist to it is I'll put headphones or earbuds in, and I'll actually put crowd noise in on my earbuds, like loud crowd noise. Yeah. So, and you really, like, you'd be surprised at how much your body really starts. Like, if you close your eyes and you're like, you picture yourself either in a big league ballpark or like you really start to feel like this is what it would feel like.
Your body doesn't really know that.
Facing, like, you're seeing Corey Kluber out on your computer. You've got earbuds in with loud crowd noise. You close your eyes. Like, you can really, like, if you become really good at it, like, you can seriously see yourself looking at your bat and seeing crowd, like being there. And that's really key, because
that's huge. Yeah.
When you do get there to the big leagues, I've been doing this, practicing for it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Yep. I've been doing it. This is no different. So now you're ready.
Sure. Yeah. And putting yourself in the pressure situations.
Right.
And then you get there, it's a familiar thing. I think, you know, that's part of the thing. Like, how do guys perform under pressure? Well, they don't feel the same pressure. Mm-hmm. They don't feel it. It's like a guy who somebody would say does not perform under pressure, and then somebody who does. The guy who does perform doesn't experience the same amount of pressure. Because it's all about how you perceive it, right? Or exactly. It's about how you prepared for it. Maybe that guy was in there visualizing, you know, and meditating and doing these things that prepared him for it, you know, or he has perspective and he's just like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. I can't turn it on on a dime, right? You can't just say, this at bat, I'm going to perform.
Right. Like,
that's basically what you're saying. When you experience a ton of pressure at the plate, you're basically thinking in your mind that you need to get a hit now, and you're trying to turn it on. If you could turn it on and be successful,
we all would do it.
You'd hit 30 home runs in high school.
Right.
You know, and it's just not how it goes. It's just not how it works. The meditation, the visualization is huge. Another one, what was I thinking? There was another part of that I wanted to add on. Visualizing yourself failing.
Yeah.
Or visualizing yourself facing some adversity. Visualize yourself getting, you know, screwed on a strike call. Mm-hmm. And visualize how you're going to respond to it.
Yep.
Is something that, oh man, I just wish that I I wish I got into this stuff when I was playing. I would have just loved to see how, I'm sure I would have performed better, and whether or not I would have made it to the big leagues, I don't even really care anymore, but just to see how the experience would have changed and possibly the results, to be able to see myself in my mind, to practice, rehearse adversity, not slamming my bat, walking back to the dugout, taking a deep breath, put the helmet in the cubby, don't slam it in the cubby, just place it in the cubby, gloves off, bat down, go grab my glove, root my team on, and go play D. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's just such a huge component that is, again, it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be, even though we talk about this and maybe other coaches are going to talk about it, there's only going to be so few of kids that are actually like, I'm going to try this.
Right.
I want to be better. They'll find some, they'll think that that sounds boring. That sounds stupid. That could never work. That could never help me hit more home runs. And then they'll be on their way and, you know.
No, yeah, I definitely love that because I think, like I said, one thing I do is I laugh it off. Like you can pretend, hey, let's say you're hitting BP and you just, a ball you should have smoked, you just pop up and don't hit it very well. You can take that moment to laugh it off, practice that so you're not doing it for the first time in a game, go back and get back to what you were doing. And you can really apply this to a lot of things in your life. I mean, you don't have to practice mental skills. You know, like the cliche is, oh, you've got your eyes closed and you're meditating, or you have to be in the field, like looking at your bat and breathing. Like that's not the whole mental game. Like you can practice mental skills playing video games. Like if you're playing NBA against a buddy and you're getting a little bit nervous, like practice one of those breathing techniques and see how it makes you feel. Tinker around with it. Like there's different a pickup game outside. Like you don't have to practice a mental game sitting down with your eyes closed, meditating, or on the field. I think you can practice it really in a lot of different areas in your life. Or if you're driving and some guy, you know, gives you an unpolite gesture, let's just say.
Instead of
backfiring and wanting to react again, you practice the mental game. And I think you can practice them in really a lot of things that – in a lot of everyday things you do in life that really don't take any additional time. It's just the awareness – of being able to practice them in different situations that come.
Yeah, that's how it like tie ins to life. Actually, baseball ties in for life. Life doesn't tie into baseball. I think that's the other kind of like misconception. It's like, no. Baseball is within your life. Like everything you do, you're doing it within your life. So All these things that we're talking about apply to baseball, yes, because baseball is a part of your life. You know what I mean? I think we realize where we're standing in this whole equation. It's like life is life. Everything that you do is within life. And so these things that we do operate under certain like laws,
right?
The law of averages, like you're not in baseball. The way the game is designed, it's designed as a hitter anyways, is designed for a low success rate, you know, and just understanding like trying to argue with that and fight that. It's like fighting gravity.
Yeah.
Have you ever came across anybody that's argues with gravity? Like, no. Oh man, I hate how things, if I let go of it, it falls to the floor. I hate it. It's stupid. That's right. What it's like when you're just like, I hate this game. I hate baseball, blah, blah, blah. You know, I suck or I this, or I'm expecting to go 8 for 10. And it's like, you're arguing with gravity, man. You're arguing with the laws of the game, life. Right. You know, it's ridiculous. So anyways, yeah, again, it's just a little bit like perspective, again, is huge.
Perspective is everything, man. I mean, I really think when you look at how you do on the field and you take the pressure off, I mean, like I said, I used to be where this was it. Like this was everything in my life. This was it. Like, it, depending on how many hits I got, it depended on how happy I was going to be. Like, that cannot be the way it goes. And I remember actually listening to a story of Mariano Rivera when he blew a save, you know, but the perspective of that he had was incredible. You know, 10 minutes after the game was over, he was having an ice cream cone with his family, laughing, having a good time after a blown save in the big leagues. Like, if he can do it, like if you mess up in a high school, college, whatever it is, like even if it's a major league game, like that's why he was so good, is it did not faze him, where there would be so many guys that would be like, I don't want to see anybody. I want to sit in my car and just be alone. Which, I mean, if that's the way it gets you back to being good, then that's good, you know, do that. But I think there's a difference between knowing that's what's going to get you in a good spot, and then also just realizing, well, this isn't doing me any good. This is just my natural way of not wanting to be seen by other people after I fail. Is you have to be willing to just let it go, and not have it be everything in your life, because like we said before, I mean, when you take it as number two or number three, when baseball becomes number two or number three, then the results that you ultimately wanted start to go your way.
Yeah, because the only thing that should be left should be your passion for it. So like if baseball, you can have the perspective that other things are more important and there's still a passion for it, then you go for it. And like you said, it may unlock a greater passion because you realize that this isn't my identity. Mm-hmm. Like that's not who I am as a baseball player. Like I'm a human being first, and then a baseball player, you know, maybe right. Like you said, second, third or fourth, but then it, like you said, it releases the pressure. There's no pressure. There's no fear, right? Of failure, because who cares?
Right.
Who cares? Who are you trying to please?
Exactly.
Right. So if you're trying to always please other people or prove other people wrong, those, even though that can be a temporary motivation at times, mm-hmm. So like, I want to prove this guy wrong. Okay. But what happens when you do prove him wrong? Then what do you do?
Right.
You got to find somebody else to prove wrong, mm-hmm. somebody else and somebody else. You know what I mean? So it's like having that perspective that it's not everything, but you still have a passion for it. It doesn't mean that you have to have less passion or care less, or that you don't have to focus or practice as much. Like, I think it's, what's the word? It escapes me right now. But like you said, it's a release of the pressure mm-hmm. to then go kick ass.
Exactly.
You know, to feel the weight off your shoulders.
Yep. And I think, like you said, it can be a temporary motivation. And just like everything else I said, you have to be willing to adapt. Like, depending on what the pitcher has, you got to adapt your approach. Depending on the umpire, you have to adapt. Depending on the weather, even. If the wind's blowing in, you don't want to be swinging up and getting under the ball. Like, it's not going to go anywhere. But, if the wind's blowing in, you might want to get a little bit on top of it. It'll get you in a better spot than if you're trying to get under it. And that's the same thing with that mentality. Is for me, I like having that mentality that prove them wrong in the right times. So yeah. in a game, I don't believe it's a good thing for me. For me, I don't feel like, oh, prove them wrong, because that's going to get me hyped. That's going to get me in a very tense. So when I'm in a game, that doesn't come into my mind. But if I'm if I'm doing bench press and I'm trying to do max out, that might be a good time to think, prove them wrong. Because that's when you need to really, get that energy, get that, fire and lift that weight. That
breathing,
might be a good time to use it. Right. And so, like you said, I mean, it's just, everything's about adapting. There's different times and different places context. For different things. Exactly. And so it's the same thing with that mentality, just like everything else is, there's times to think, prove them wrong, or whatever some of your things that motivate you, or I want to make the all-star team, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Like, you might want to think, I want to make the all-star team when you're sitting in bed and don't want to work out. Like, thinking about, oh, I want to make the all-star team might get you out of bed and get you to do that workout. However, thinking I want to make the all-star team when it's bottom of the seventh with bases loaded, probably not a good idea.
not going to work out too well. The same thing with competing against other players. Like mm-hmm. even some people compete against their teammates.
Yep.
It's like there's enough opportunities. There's enough success out there for everybody. Like, there's no reason to root against your teammate because so that you can appear to be better. Because mm-hmm. they failed less doesn't make you better.
Right.
No, it's like you want to root your competition on, maybe not the other team on that day, mm-hmm. right? But you want success for other. You want to be happy for seeing other players be successful, because it's only going to come back to you, that positivity. It's only helping you too. Mm-hmm. And if you see them competing, that can make you elevate your game.
Right.
If you say, I want this guy to fail so that I can look better amongst my peers or please my parents or whatever, mm-hmm. Then you're not really getting better, because you're just wishing less results for or less success for somebody else. Wish success for them and everybody around you until unless it's game day and you're playing against another team.
Right.
But even at the end, be a good sport and to be like, hey guys, great game. You guys beat us today. You played better. Mm-hmm. And be happy for those people and just know that tomorrow you're going to come and get them. Exactly. Tomorrow we're coming for you. But then at the end of the day, we're gonna be all happy for each other and respect each other. And that's ultimately just gonna come back to you, and it's going to continue to elevate your game.
Yes.
And I think that's just a huge thing. I've seen it myself, but I've also seen it inside of a team, college teams, like as a coach. They're playing against each other. How can you beat the team over there mm-hmm. if you're defeating each other within your own team?
Right.
So there's that other component of just how you mesh with your teammates. Like we've talked a lot about personally, how do we control our mental game and apply the tools in the right moment? But what about like with your teammates and how you interact? That's another huge component because at the end of the day, if your goal is big leagues D1, it's all about you bringing the most value to that team as possible.
Right.
It's about winning a championship, and teams want players that will bring them closer to a championship. And that's by you being a type of guy that's going to make other people better around
you. 100%. Yep. And the last thing I want to touch on, cause I know this is kind of running long and I actually have to head to the field in a little bit, but the last thing I want to touch on is that what you were talking about is other teammates. And when I was younger, I used to be on actually pretty good travel team. And actually all the way through high school, I was on a really good travel team. But it got to the point where, they would just be getting hit after hit after hit after hit. And I wasn't necessarily competing with them. But let's say I was – because I used to be an infielder. I recently converted to catcher. But I was an infielder. And, I mean, it didn't even have to be the infielders that were getting hits. Like – let's say the center fielder, left fielder, right fielder, they'd all get hits, boom, boom, boom. And all the hitters before me are getting hits. And now I'm coming up and I'm scared because I'm like, if I get out, I'm the only guy this inning that's gotten out. Like, and that's another trap that you get into. And it's not necessarily you're going against your teammates. It's just that they're almost putting more pressure on you. Sure. And that was something that I actually felt that some of you guys might be feeling is, when your teammates are doing well, it's not necessarily that you want them to do bad, but you feel like, well, because I'm on this team now, I also have to get the hit. I also have to, follow it. And the moment I said, who cares? Like it doesn't matter what the guy before me does. It doesn't matter whether you're competing against him for a spot or whether he's just on your team and your team's just racking up hits. You just go up there with the approach that you know is going to put you in a good spot. And that's really all that matters. Whatever happens, like I said, whatever happens, happens. And you can go back to the dugout, whether after scoring a run or after striking out, knowing you were, he either got you out or you got the hit with the best you had. And that's really all you could ask for when going back in. But regardless of who you're competing against, how they're doing, all of that really is out of your control. So why really put a whole lot of effort and energy into it when you literally have zero control over if your teammates, competition, whoever it is, how they do. And obviously you want them to do well, like you said, because I mean, the biggest value to a team is a team player that's going to elevate them and help them do better. So,
yep. Shoot. I think about a thought that I don't want to cut you off, but then I end up forgetting as we go through it. I just wanted to, darn it. What was I going to say? Shoot. Talking about like the guys ahead of you, why hitting is contagious, mm-hmm. right? You're feeding off of that energy, right? So it's simply just your thoughts. Now you start to think, oh, I got to get a hit. Okay. Wrong thought. Feeding off of that energy, using that as confidence for yourself.
Exactly.
So you go up there with like, yeah, like I'm just, and guys do it and they don't even realize that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because it, like I said, it becomes contagious, not because they're thinking, oh, I got to get a hit now. No, they just use it. They get pumped up. Your team is cheering, rooting everybody on. You feel the momentum shift. And now that like confidence comes into you. Right. And then boom, you end up getting it. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. the opposite is happening for the pitcher.
Exactly.
You know, oh man, these guys are on me. And especially mm-hmm. if he starts going down that road, spiraling down the negativity, then you have the opportunity to just really pour it on some pitchers, and innings can get, you have that big bust out inning, 5, 6, 10 run inning.
For sure.
And then it goes the opposite. Then you can go next two innings and nobody gets a hit. You strike out, you know, the 9 times in the next 4 or 5 innings.
Yeah.
It just reverses it around, because now it's like, oh, the first 3 guys have struck out. Oh man, like now this pitcher's really tough. Oh man, am I going to strike out? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you strike out.
Because yep.
you're just letting those thoughts creep in, man. And exactly. It eats you up.
Yep. And the big thing, like I said, is really controlling what you can control and knowing yourself. That's a big thing that I bet you can probably sense from just hearing me talk, because I have a good idea of where my mental state is at certain times, and knowing, like you said, the toolboxes that you can use. And hopefully all of you guys that are listening can get to a point where you really know yourself well and have the toolbox items to address different times during a game that you can pull out and use.
Thank you for listening to the Thought Force Podcast.